T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
India Walton, running for mayor of Buffalo. India, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. And let me start off by asking, what made you want to jump in and run for mayor of Buffalo?
You know, for a long time, I've been involved in community work with various organizations and coalitions. And by and large, the barrier that we face, just trying to make positive, progressive change, comes out of City Hall. So after the lack of response, you know, regarding the pandemic and the uprisings of last summer, I decided to throw my hat in the ring because I will be a leader who is going to work work with our community leaders to make change.
In your opinion, looking at those two things, the pandemic and the events of last summer, where do you think the current mayor misstepped?
Well, he was largely absent. The city had plenty of resources to play an active role in caring for people during the pandemic, and yet we saw mutual aid networks popping up and people donating stimulus checks to be able to feed neighbors and deliver healthy food. So that's one thing. You know, the mayor left flyers asking people to check on their neighbors, which is great, but where were the resources that needed to be deployed on the ground? In regards to the response to the uprisings of the summer, Buffalo has had a policing problem long before the murder of George Floyd. And in 2016, I was actually a part of a group that brought 32 policy recommendations that would have prevented such conflicts in our community, and it was largely ignored.
So looking at the Buffalo police, you know, I asked Mayor Brown earlier today how he feels about reforms that have been done and reforms that could be done, what the future would hold. And what do you think about the reforms done under the current mayor with Buffalo Police Department, and where do you see room for improvement?
I would call them lackluster at best. The Attorney General of New York State actually agrees and is encouraging the city of Buffalo to implement an independent civilian oversight board. I think that would be a good next step in improving the relationship and repairing the relationship between the Buffalo police and our community. The second thing is there's just a real lack of accountability and leadership from the top down, the mayor's office, the commissioner's office. We see officers who are allowed to perpetuate misconduct time after time. The city is settling tens of million dollars annually in lawsuits with taxpayer dollars, and there's zero accountability. So, you know, we have a long, long way to go, and I'm the person that is going to rise to the occasion and really take that challenge head on.
And one of the things you are calling for, and if you could explain to our listeners, is removing police from responding to mental health calls. Can you explain that?
Sure. I think the basis of this is that we have cut mental health and social services in the city of Buffalo. So we are expecting police to respond to all of society's ills, right? Police are not mental health professionals. There are people who are really good at that job. So we don't need to pay police to do the job of social workers and mental health professionals. I think that if a situation is unsafe, then it may call for a police officer. But the data shows that armed officers, uniformed officers, even when unarmed, that respond to mental health crises have a tendency to escalate the situation and not de-escalate it. And in my conversations with many rank-and-file patrol officers, they are looking forward to the day that they are not expected to be mental health professionals or social workers or homeless outreach people, and they can do their actual job, which is solving crime.
You know, you talked about the pandemic. We're hopefully on the end of the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. I spoke with the other two opponents, their plans to get the city of Buffalo not just back where it was before the pandemic, but better. What are your plans to bring employment back or to bring the city back to where it was before the pandemic? Again, if not better.
I look forward to bringing the city back better than ever. Buffalo is a place that is rich in so much talent, resources, arts, and culture. I look forward to being a leader that is going to deploy resources at the ground level, take care of our workers, our hometown landlords, and our small businesses to make sure that we create a community where all people can thrive.
All right. Now, I do want to go to our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I did ask our listeners if they have a question to text it in. And Ms. Walton, the first one was to your policing statement. Do you support the idea of defunding police?
I support the idea of funding communities to a level that crime is reduced in the form of resources like affordable housing, a quality education, community centers, and things that make our communities naturally safer.
And back to the pandemic, back to the economy, what would be the main focus of the Buffalo economy under your of you being in office in the mayor's office?
The priority is definitely providing relief for small business owners, small-time landlords. We know that the eviction moratorium has put a real strain on both tenants and good landlords in the city of Buffalo. So really making sure that we provide relief to working class people first, and then being able to expand opportunities for training and jobs such as green infrastructure to really bring Buffalo into the 21st century and really put an eye toward reducing our carbon footprint and giving people living wage, good union jobs.
We spoke with LaCandice Durham, and she said one of the major things she sees around the city is the lack of work on the infrastructure. You know, we see what's going on Main Street downtown. She says that there are other areas of the city that need that kind of attention. What are your thoughts on the current infrastructure of the city of Buffalo?
The infrastructure in the city of Buffalo is very aging, and not only is our infrastructure improvements sorely needed, but it can also be an economic driver for the city, especially with the amount of funding that's going to come from the federal government. So I think that we have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to replace a lot of pipes, to repave our streets in a sustainable way where we're not having to repave and fill potholes, you know, two or three times a year. So I have to say that I agree with Ms. Durham in that we do need to make significant infrastructure improvements in areas of the city outside of downtown Buffalo. It's an unspoken truth that there are parts of the city that have been neglected for far too long. And I think that what's most exciting about my candidacy is that I'm talking to people on the ground and in these neighborhoods that have been forgotten, and they are excited about someone who is going to not only make campaign promises, but return and deliver on these improvements.
The Buffalo Teachers Federation did put their support behind you. Where do you think we need to go to address education in the schools here in Buffalo?
The first thing that we need to do is make sure that our schools are equitably funded. And when I say that, I mean that we have some populations in Buffalo Public Schools that are higher needs than others. We have school buildings that have students that speak 200 languages. There's no way that they can have the exact same budget as a school like a City Honors or an Olmsted. So we have to put more resources into our higher need buildings. As mayor, I am going to be much more involved in the inner workings of our school system and really just use my influence to bring more partners to the table so that we can begin to get to the root causes of a lot of our educational issues, which as a school nurse, I often found is a result of concentrated poverty and disadvantage. When we give our children a safe, healthy place to live, good food to eat, clean water and fresh air, they do much better academically than, you know, when we stick them in a room with 31 other children and expect them to be able to learn.
You know, I was reading through the your website, and one of the things under your issues were immigration. Where do you think the city of Buffalo can play a part in immigration that they aren't currently playing?
Yeah, so we went, you know, as far as just one step behind declaring Buffalo a sanctuary city. I would declare Buffalo a sanctuary city. I would make sure that, you know, we have language access services, in all parts of city government. I would instruct Buffalo Police to not collaborate with ICE or Border Patrol. Our immigrant and refugee population is really what is keeping our population growing, and we need to do more to not only attract our immigrants, but also support them in their resettlement. We know that they, more often than not, open up small businesses, are contributors to our economy, and this should be not only a welcoming place for immigrants, but also a safe place.
With that said, if you declared Buffalo a sanctuary city, would Buffalo assist in helping these immigrants get U.S. citizenship?
That would be the ideal situation. And like I said, you know, even though these things are not necessarily under the purview of the mayor's office, being the leader of the second largest city in New York State does give you enough influence to be able to figure out how we can streamline these processes and get our new Buffalonians, our new residents, a clear pathway to citizenship.
And another thing you put on your website was food access. Can you explain the issue and your answer to it?
Absolutely. Many neighborhoods are considered food deserts in the city of Buffalo, but, you know, I don't use the word desert because that's a naturally occurring phenomenon. What I use is food apartheid, because these are policy decisions that have denied certain demographics of people access to fresh, healthy food. And instead, we get corner stores with processed food and chips and beer. So what I want to do is make a food store license require that a certain percentage of the product be fresh food to make food more readily available. And again, use my influence to attract grocery stores into neighborhoods so that no one is, you know, more than 3 miles away from a grocery store.
Back to the infrastructure real quick, because I asked Mayor Brown this and I asked Ms. Durham this, and I think this question came up just because Congressman Higgins was on the show earlier. But, you know, the Skyway has been in the news. And when you talk about all the money that cities are going to get around the country for infrastructure, it seems like the Skyway is the number one thing people talk about. If you were mayor, would you be in support of removal of the Skyway or in support of keeping the Skyway?
I am not in support of removal of the Skyway. I think that is something we may need to talk about further eventually, but the amount of investment that is coming to, if we're going to remove any highway in Buffalo, it needs to be the 33. The 33 essentially severed an East Side community. It has caused terrible health disparities in certain areas and zip codes, and there has been a fight for the last three decades to be able to rectify the harm that was done. And my priority would definitely be, standing up with the Restore Our Community Coalition and having those investments put to rectify the travesty that is the 33 Expressway.
All right, Ms. Walton, you are endorsed by the Buffalo Democratic Socialists of America. You know, a lot of people, they hear socialist and they don't know what to think. Can you explain that to the listeners?
Absolutely, I'd love to. I'm happy to have the support of both Buffalo DSA and National DSA. And when we talk about socialism, it sounds scary to average people, but we are perfectly fine with socialism for the wealthy. We have a almost empty factory where we have given $1 billion in tax incentives to a person who's already a multi-billionaire, one of the wealthiest people in the world. And, you know, the principles of democratic socialism dictate that we don't make the rich richer. We take those investments and we put them into the pockets of working class people and into investments in working class neighborhoods. The rich people will be fine. We don't have to allow socialism to be a scary word. In fact, during the pandemic, a lot of socialist practices we all enjoy, free healthcare and immunizations, right? Relief for people who were behind on water bills, money, right? We know that when people have disposable income, they put it right back into the economy. So these are just things that make sense economically for a city that is as poor as Buffalo. And I look forward to continuing the conversation about how democratic socialism really is a political view that prioritizes workers, that prioritizes union labor forces, and really just prioritizes people over profit.
And we have two questions for this from our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, so I'd like to pass them on to you. There's confusion. Are you going to be on the Working Families Party line in November?
I am not on the Working Families Party line in November. I am the Working Families Party endorsed candidate. Working Families Party is in Buffalo with us right now, throwing down this last couple of days before the primary. However, because of an oversight on my part, I take responsibility. I needed to file an affidavit of acceptance, and I filed it a day too late. So I will not be on the ballot in November. And if you believe as strongly as I believe that we need new membership, you got to go out and vote today until 6 p.m. or on Tuesday on primary day for India Walton.
All right, before we let you go, I gave your opponents this opportunity. Anything that I did not bring up that you wanted to mention, the floor is yours.
I think that we covered it all. I would just encourage folks who still have questions to visit my website at www.indiawalton.com. And the most important thing is to get out and vote. Voter turnout in primary elections is extremely low in Buffalo. And if people are dissatisfied with the way the city has been run, or if you're satisfied with it, at least go out and exercise your right to vote.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.